is Jared of the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Floyd, before we get to your segment, Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows, which, by the way, we have a couple lines open at 615-737-1025. If you want to get in, 615-737-1025. I found something very interesting during the break. Maybe it's lucky scheduling, I don't know. But if you look at Florida's football schedule next year, they start off with Michigan, so they get the whole offseason to prepare for Michigan. Then their next, you would qualify as a difficult game, would be Tennessee, right?
Okay.
They play Northern Colorado before they play Tennessee. Then their next difficult game would be LSU. They play Vandy before they play LSU. Their next difficult game would be Georgia. They have a bye week before they play Georgia. Their final difficult game would be Florida State. They play UAB the week before that. So what in the world is going on here? I'm looking at it, and before every tough game Florida gets, they either have a bye week or Northern Colorado, UAB, and Vandy.
Sounds like good scheduling. That's what you're supposed to do. Luck, AD, good job.
Luck of the draw. All right, Floyd, it is time for your favorite segment.
When the GM speaks,
a little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Bob's Steak and Chop House.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. Couple of lines open, 615-737-1025 if you want to get in. And the best question will win a pair of tickets to WWE Raw Monday night at Bridgestone Arena. Logan is up first on Ask the GM. What's up, Logan?
Not much, guys. I was going to ask, you know, they've been talking about Mike Fisher. He may or may not come back. Do you think getting Nick Bahino, or however you say his name, from Pittsburgh will affect his decision on coming back to the Predators next year? I'm going to get off here and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, good question. My gut feeling, this is just a gut feeling, but not based on any kind of evidence, but I would say the way that they have spent time subsidizing the center position, they maybe have some indications that he might not come back. If he comes back, I think they're going to be, you know, they'll be in good shape at center position, you know, one of the positions that has been of need for them. But I don't know that you would make the trade. You would sign people that can come in and play the center position if you knew for sure Mike Fisher was coming back. And you know what? Mike Fisher deserves the time and the luxury of having a chance to think about it and talk to his family and wife and make a sound decision so he's not at some point in time going back and forth on what to do.
I'm just looking at the depth chart that they have at center. Johansson, Bonino, Sissons, Yarncroke, Gaudreau. If Fisher comes back, you move some of those guys to the wing, but I think they'll be fine one way or the other.
They should have a surplus of centers, which is something that, you know, they probably have never, ever had.
And here's the unfortunate thing. The really unfortunate aspect of this. They may run out of money to pay him. You know, because you don't want to come back at $2 million if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, you know, it's not the same. We don't want to, you know, I just don't.
And I think that's the risk that he runs. You know, the longer he waits, the longer he buys his time, the more they have to go ahead and move on. And as they move, they're just kind of, you know, keeping pace. And if that involves signing another guy or the draft or whatever it may be that eats up cap funds, all of a sudden you're sitting there and Mike says, yeah, I'm ready to come back and I'll just kind of play for the same thing I have before. Well, the same thing you had before may not be there. That's the risk he runs.
If you're David Poyle, when do you tell him you need to know? If training camp starts in 2 months, when do you need to know?
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest with you, I mean, the level of respect that he has earned, I mean, I think you pretty much allow him the time he needs. Now, the sooner they know, the better off everybody's going to be. And I'm sure Mike knows that. But I would, I mean, the sooner the better. You're not going to, you hate to get in a position where all of a sudden he's fired up about it. He's talked to his wife. He's talked to his family. He's healthy. He's ready to go. And he's thinking to himself, this is going to be the best year of my career. And he comes in and they said, guess what, Mike? We don't have any money left. You know?
Robert's up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. What's up, Robert?
Okay, the scandal in Ole Miss is, if it would have happened to any other colleges like, say, Nick Saban, do you think it would have been, like, more swept under the rug? Or, I mean, if this would have happened to him, how do you think he would have dealt with it? Do you think because he's more, I guess, known, he would have got away with it, or... I don't know.
Good question. I don't know that he would have gotten away with it. I think this, though, you know, the part that kind of made people suspicious from the start was when he had those great, great recruiting classes. And anytime you're at a place that is not used to getting the best recruiting class, I mean, the young quarterback they have, there's, you know, I think last year in 16 was the best quarterback in the nation. And you can see Archie Manning and the Peyton and the Manning family and University of Mississippi. I mean, there's some kind of connections you can make there. But when you get to a point where you're bringing in, you know, a top two or three recruiting class to a school that is not accustomed to that, it makes you wonder. And I think people start wondering about that. Now, Nick at Alabama could get away with the best class every year. Nobody would think a thing about it. Doesn't mean that he's, you know, maybe not doing everything by the book. But I think that's the big difference between the Alabamas and the Mississippis.
Well, I think, too, my thing is, you know, it was his first recruiting class, and there was nothing about him that would make you think he's going to be able to turn it around right away and be this great recruiter. And he's getting kids out of Chicago and Atlanta, and it's like, where's this coming from? Whereas with Nick Saban, he had the track record, the success, the recruiting at LSU.
Right.
He had all that. Now, and I'll also say this. I don't think Hugh Freeze is the only one out there cheating, but it's like those steroid users in baseball. When you went from hitting 11 home runs to 59 – like Brady Anderson, there's going to be a question. You know, Brady, if Ken Griffey Jr. hit 63 home runs, would anyone question it?
Right.
No, but Brady Anderson does, and it's like, well, clearly something's up. Matt is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. What's up, Matt?
Hi, guys. My question for you, and Jared, you were right at the UT football question, so forgive me here, but was about Quentin Dormady, because we've heard a ton of hype about some of the quarterbacks in the East this year, and I know it's never a certain thing with quarterbacks after watching Jeremy Johnson last year, but I don't know how much more Dormady could have done to this point in his career to get us excited about him. And I feel like no one talks about him at this point with him being the leader in that quarterback race. So if there's something that you, Floyd, have seen it that makes you think that maybe he won't be as successful or can explain why he's not getting more attention, I'd love it. Thanks, guys.
You know, I don't think it's that. My gut feeling, he's going to end up being the starting quarterback opening day. Now, will he maintain that position? I don't know. I'm sure he thinks he will. I think it's that he hasn't played a lot. And when we talk about all these other quarterbacks, when you talk about Eason, you talk about South Carolina, you talk about Johnson at Kentucky, you talk about all these other – they've already played a year. And so – they've played a year, had some success. So people look at that and they go, wow, you know, imagine what he's going to be his second or third year, whatever the case may be. And I think with Dormady, we just have not, we don't have anything to base what we expect from him next year on. I mean, the truth is he could go out and throw more interceptions than touchdowns and could be a liability. I don't expect that's going to happen. But I think because you don't know, you kind of discount him a little bit.
Well, and two, sometimes you get discounted for not knowing, and sometimes you give him credit for knowing. It's like, well, hey, he's a graduate transfer. I remember when Grayson Lambert was a graduate transfer at Georgia from Virginia, and I covered ACC football at Louisville, and I was like, Grayson Lambert sucks.
Right.
And everybody was like, well, no, he's this big transfer from Virginia, and he's going to start right away. And I'm like, if Mark Richt starts Grayson Lambert at quarterback, he will get fired. And that's exactly what happened, because I knew Grayson Lambert was bad. I look at Florida, and they bring in Malik Zaire, the transfer from Notre Dame, and I'm thinking to myself, if they bring in Malik Zaire and he starts at Florida, forget about it. They're not winning the East. And then I got serious questions about Jim McElwain's recruiting of quarterbacks and development of quarterbacks. Because I'll be honest with you, if you had to have me pick today as to who I'd rather have be my starting quarterback, Kyle Shurmur or Malik Zaire, it's Shurmur, and it's not even close. I mean, it is. That's how I feel about it. Because I think Zaire stinks. I think he's awful. So, to me, I'm sitting here saying, I'm not going to discount Dormady, but we don't know what they have at quarterback. And last year, we knew what they had at quarterback. Ended up being better than what they had at quarterback. And still, you know, it was a huge question mark. Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. Sturgill is up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Sturgill?
Nothing much, guys. How are you doing?
Great. We miss you, Sturgill.
Yeah, long time no talk, Sturge.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to call in because I heard about all your UT talk today. I was just wondering, at the end of the season, just like if they get upset by, like, Georgia Tech in the first week, do you think, why don't they just fire him and get somebody else? I assume that they can with the way their program is, but I just don't see why he won't be gone at the end of the season. I'll just hang up the list. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Sturgill.
I was just wondering if Sturgill had anybody in mind that he thought he might fire and hire.
Interesting thought.
Sturgill's a pretty good football guy. He would probably have a good idea.
Why, to his question, though, why wouldn't they just fire Butch Jones?
Oh, if they lose they still got a lot of football to go. I mean, it's going to be – it's a long season. And Georgia Tech, I mean, the thing that is unique, we've talked about this with Georgia Tech, is you can be better than Georgia Tech and not win because of the scheme. And that's – one of the few schemes in the country that is still like that.
Ask the GM is presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. We've got people hanging on the line. We'll get more calls, though, at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ask the GM on Jared of the GM, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ask the GM is presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. And Floyd, this is our last installment of Ask the GM, at least with you, for a little bit, because you're going on your annual excursion.
Yes.
And we'll be without you. And there will be a little part of me that dies inside.
You'll be fine.
I'm going to have Jim Gray fill in with you, and Ask the GM will be presented by Macy's. Jim Gray's favorite store. So we can get to that as well. All right, back to the phones here on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. And DeJuan is up first. Go ahead, DeJuan.
What's up, man? Do y'all see an NFL lockout coming soon? I mean, it's hard to ignore the money that NBA players are making. And, I mean, let's be honest, we don't even really watch the NBA into playoff time. I mean, it's just making too much money. Do you feel that could happen, or it's just too many players on per team to make an impact?
Yeah, I mean, it's the two sports are almost complete opposites in all facets of the, you know, you're talking about 10 or 12 players versus, 95. You're talking about, careers that you have to be concerned about getting hurt every snap to, you know, being able to go out and play 82 games a year and run up and down the basketball court till you're 35. I mean, there are just a lot of non-parallels when you include the two. And I understand why people in the NFL want the guaranteed contracts, because they see it in baseball, basketball, hockey, everything else. And yet the game of football is so violent that, you know, the end of your career is, you know, the next snap. And so I think it's just the type that it's really, really difficult. Now, if you're a fantastic player, you're an off-the-charts player, teams are willing to run the risk. You know, they'll go ahead and take it. Still won't completely guarantee them because it's just too risky. But we'll guarantee, you know, you see the $40, $50 million guaranteed, which, let's face it, is a ton of money. But if a guy signs a $100 million contract, I mean, it's not going to be $100 million guaranteed bucks. They just, the NFL can't afford it.
Keith is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. Go ahead, Keith.
Hi, guys. Floyd, I guess you know while you're on your excursion Thursday at 5 o'clock Central Time, you're going to have to call in. Either
all right.
Or Jared, you're going to have to get Crispy down from Canada for the next couple, 3 weeks.
That's true.
We could call it Crispy and Jared. I don't know. Crispy,
why would
Jared.
He get the lead? Why would he get the lead?
Well, he'd be roasting you.
That's true.
That'd be, and it only fit if it's Crispy Jared, you know. So. But anyway, I'm from Kentucky, and being from Kentucky, usually we don't get to ask football questions.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, back during the O.J. Simpson trial, they thought about bringing the trial to Kentucky because nobody knew anything about football. But my question to y'all is, who do you think the starting quarterback is going to be this year? You know, Drew Barker was highly touted coming out of Highlands, I believe, up in northern Kentucky. But Steven Johnson looked awful good last year. I'll hang up and listen.
You know, if I was betting, I would bet it would be Stevie Johnson.
Especially considering that Mark Stoops said yesterday, Steven Johnson is our starting quarterback.
Did he come out and say that?
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's said that. Yeah.
I think he's the guy, and with reason. I mean, I thought last year played very well, and this is just what we were talking about with some of the teams in the SEC East. You've got a whole group of teams. South Carolina's, Georgia's, Kentucky's, Vanderbilt's, that are returning these quarterbacks like Johnson that has played, that has been successful, that you feel very good about. And, the SEC's like the NFL or any other quarterback-driven league. I mean, if you've got the quarterbacks, you've got a chance to win a bunch of games, and everybody knows that. And so, you know, if you're Kentucky right now, you're excited because Stevie Johnson's going to be your quarterback, and you know that's going to give you a chance to win a game or two that you have not been able to win in the past.
Well, and there's certain times in sports where you do something, and when you do it, like, you know, the discussion is over. Like, I thought for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, Tony had just kind of started to be ready on the cusp of coming back, and Prescott leads them on a last-minute comeback at the Steelers, and they hadn't lost a game, and at that point, you're not taking Dak Prescott out. And I feel the same way about Steven Johnson. Steven Johnson ended last season by going on the road to Louisville and knocking them out, Kentucky's biggest rival, and knocking them out of the Orange Bowl and making Kentucky Bowl eligible. And once you've done that, Steven Johnson, you're the quarterback at Kentucky. And I think Steven Johnson's really good. So I'm not by any means looking at this and saying that I never liked Barker. I think Barker is too immature. I think Barker showed early in the season he can't lead that team, and I am a huge believer in Steven Johnson. So, for what it's worth, and I actually do believe in Kentucky this year. Let's go to John, who's up next. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. GM, I got a quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is Notre Dame being independent after all these years and not being in a conference, is that hurting them being competitive and getting the players they need to get back to the title game? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Good question. The truth is, I think it is hurting them. Now, keep in mind, Notre Dame can recruit with anybody in the country. I mean, they have, when I was being recruited, I had probably, 30, 40 scholarship offers. I had all that. I got a letter, not an offer, just a letter from Notre Dame. And that's the only thing I kept out of all those offers. I mean, that's the background, the history of Notre Dame. And
did
I
they
think,
offer you a scholarship?
No, but I still kept the letter. I mean, it was.
Had they offered you, would you have gone?
I probably would have. Yeah, I think. I mean, it's the legacy of Notre Dame is beyond reproach. So, I think they're always going to have that and always have that to recruit to. That being said, I think if you are in a conference and it's a pretty good conference, I think that gives you a little bit of clout. I think it adds something to your persona as a team or as a school.
Well, here's what I think hurts Notre Dame. One is geography. They're essentially in Chicago. There's no we never talk about the high school football prowess of Illinois Indiana or anything like that.
Yeah, but of course they can recruit any place.
They can, but it's harder to get a kid from Florida to move to Chicago. And then the other thing is Notre Dame had a huge advantage with their NBC contract for years. Hey, we're on NBC every week. And that used to be a big deal when there was one or two national games a weekend. Now, everybody's on TV all the time. Is Notre Dame on TV more than Florida State? No. Are they on TV more than Alabama? No. Are they on more than USC? No. Because all these networks put college football on. CBS has college football. Fox has college football. We've got ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, SEC Network, Big Ten. I mean, they all have got networks. And so Notre Dame's TV deal, while they still rake in a bunch of cash, is not very good. Plus, the other thing that I think hurts Notre Dame, we talk about not being in a conference, their deal to get their other sports into the ACC requires them to play essentially a half of an ACC schedule every year. Well, no one wants to watch that crap. No one wants to watch Boston College.
No.
Duke.
No.
I mean, come on. So except for the occasional Florida State or Clemson or Louisville, the games they've played the last couple of years that have gotten mega ratings on TV, people want to watch Duke. So that's the other thing I think that hurts Notre Dame, too, is their ACC deal. Now, if they only played Miami, Louisville, Florida State, and Clemson, and maybe Pittsburgh of their ACC teams, then it'd be great. But because they have to play every ACC team, no one wants to watch them go on the road to Syracuse. So I think that hurts Notre Dame as well. Chris is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I heard you talking to Nick Saban yesterday, and you were talking about all the quarterbacks in the SEC, and he was saying how much better the quarterback play is going to be in the conference this year. But I think he's got one of the best quarterbacks in the entire conference. He was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year last year, Jalen Hurts. GM, my question is, how do you see his game translating to the next level? And if you had to kind of compare him to a quarterback in the NFL right now, who could you maybe compare him to?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, I think first of all, Nick, talking with Nick, I mean, he's completely sold with the kid. And I think he's going to be the guy. They've got another guy coming along, a kid from Hawaii. I can't pronounce his name, but he is supposed to be an outstanding player. And so, you know, at some point in time, will there be competition? Or at some point in time, will the other kid get a chance to play? That may be the case. But I think Hurts is his guy. I think he has confidence in him. I think he feels really, really good about his leadership qualities, the way he handles the huddle, the way he is in the locker room, all of the intangibles. I think he feels very, very good about, and that's important. I think from a personality standpoint, he maybe reminds me a little bit of Dak Prescott. From a skill standpoint, I think he is a little bit more athletic than that. And so it'll be interesting.
Is there a player he reminds you of from a skill standpoint?
To be honest, and I didn't want to say it, but he kind of reminds me of Steve McNair. You know, just watching him move and run and do the things he does. I mean, he's really a fine athlete. And so he kind of reminds me of Steve. But, it's hard to tell. He's got a long way to go. He's going to have a heck of a career when it's all said and done.
That, in my mind, is legitimate headline news right there for sports, that you just compared Jalen Hurts, personality-wise, to Dak Prescott, one of the best quarterbacks in recent SEC history, and to Steve McNair, a guy that you took with the third overall pick who ended up being a league MVP. That's pretty special.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you have to keep in mind, I've never met the kid before in my life. I don't know anything about him.
Right,
I'm just what I see on TV and comparing him to other people I've seen on TV. So,
Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. Speaking of Nick Saban, he said something in our interview yesterday that made me think we are underappreciating somebody. Somebody who most people would say is overappreciated. I'm convinced we're underappreciating. All because of what Nick Saban said. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.